Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
How's it hanging, ladies and folks? My name is Chris R.R. Bauzo, and this is my show. You're about to hear Chapter 2 of my ongoing sword and sorcery sci-fi narrative. A story written, read, performed, and edited, all with your ear holes in mind. So don't even concern yourself with going back to catch up quite yet, because this episode, like every episode, just so happens to be the perfect jumping on point. And then, once you're hooked, feel free to catch up with episode 1 and 2 and be even prepared for episode 3 dropping next Saturday. But all I need you to do right now is sit back, relax, and allow me to unfurl the wizard scroll. Wizarding rule number 68 may have been to always get a good night's sleep, but now was no time to sprawl out on a race car bed and catch 420 winks. Now was the time for action, because as it has the wise, save for all the magic and shit, was a simple man. He liked sleeping undisturbed, and preferred that his fish stay in the tank rather than strewn about his nice wood floors. So when the village of Ashtown collectively decided to march on his tower and completely destroy his fish tank, he was very well within his rights when he exacted his revenge.
That's right, my pet. Very well within my rights. Those craven little assholes trashed my tower, and I simply cannot let that go unpunished.
I know. I was there.
Enough with your semantics, furry bait. That's your new name, by the way.
What? No, my name is Craig.
Furry bait protested.
See? Even the narrator called you it. Looks like furry bait's canon now. Too bad. So sad. Aw, rats. Anyway, those craven little pieces of excrement have gotten a pretty decent head start, I'd say. What do you think?
Oh, shit, yeah. I got me a taste for human flesh, and let me tell you, that shit is scrumptious.
That's the spirit. You head on out now, and I'll catch up in a minute.
Roger, roger.
I've got a nifty little trick or three to help things go a little more smoothly.
According to Wizarding Rule number 69, there were no rules. There were no bedtimes, no gods, and no masters that could dictate what Azataz the Wise did with his time. So he did as he damn well shit-ass pleased. Case in point, presently he procured a hand-carved wooden wizard pipe from God knows where in his spandex thong, and took a hit so fat that a random owl flying by was like, "Damn! That's a fat hit, my dude!" And it came in for a fly-by bro fist before disappearing back into the night. Then, as he reverse French whiz-hailed, as the smoke exhaled by his nostrils was sucked back into his waiting mouth, his eyes began to glow a neon green.
Nothing like a little wizard weed to get the juices flowing. Ah, boys!
He asked to no one in particular as he donned a special, limited edition pair of Azataz the Wise's X-ray specs trademark that looked just like pixel shades.
Now let's murder some fools!
Azataz ventured out into the Tiger Woods with a bloodlust that could be satiated by one thing and one thing only. It would not, could not abate until every last citizen of Ashtown, every man, woman, and gender-neutral character drawing breath in that small town, drew breath no longer. Those little pricks knew exactly who they were fucking with when they marched on the Wizard Tower. They knew that Azataz the Wise, despite being human himself, was a being far, far removed from humanity. They knew. that violently storming his abode with torches and pitchforks in this fashion was about as smart as venturing into the northeastern Badlands without an acid-proof umbrella. In other words, it was a fucking dumb move. A death wish, even. It was a death wish indeed. And Azatas the Wise, with more mana at his disposal than even he knew what to do with, he was in a prime position to grant such a wish. Meanwhile, Furrybait was born in this forest. He had spent the entirety of his meager existence scrounging for nuts and seeds in the very woods he charged through now. He had survived and thrived, thanks in part to his primal, animalistic instincts, the ones that guided his newly enlarged and enhanced frame through the canopy of the Tier Woods at speeds utterly unattainable in his previous form. And when he found one of those panicking, terrified villagers, when one had the misfortune to find themselves within Furrybait's grasp,
oh ye gods, it be the beast!
He would leap down from above and just go to fucking town on them with his razor-sharp claws and slavering jaws, biting and tearing flesh until what remained was little more than a puddle of miscellaneous gore and bone and probably also shit. Because, let's face it, most of them probably shit themselves at the sight of that bloodthirsty squirrel. Double, meanwhile, Azatas bounded across the forest on taut, muscular legs, on limbs rippling with arcane power, his eyes now green and glowing with a bioluminescence that allowed him to navigate his way through the woods, bobbing and weaving his way around those pines, oaks, and ash trees as if it were daytime. And in combination with his namesake X-Ray Specs trademark, those cowering villagers had an icicle's chance in heck of hiding from his sight for long.
Dude, I'm scared!
Relax, bro. Do you see all the sticks and leaves we have glued to us? We're practically invisible crouched up in this here bush.
Ain't nobody shall hide from the ire of Azatas the Wise!
As he absolutely obliterated that there bush, turning it and both of its occupants into a fine black powder.
I motherfucking predator, liches! Now prepare to meet your doom!
Azatas charged forward and clotheslined two terrified villagers at once, before floating into the air, carrying his latest victims up and up and up and all the way up into the air. So goddamn high that when he finally did drop them, those unfortunate souls had ample time to accept Goblin Jesus as their Lord and Savior before crashing to the ground. Dead.
How many peeps left, Chief?
Let's see. Carry the 2, divide by 0, and 4 bodies still unaccounted for. We're making great time, might I add. Pretty soon, and we can—
Not my wizard!
From out of fucking nowhere, a villager leapt out of a nearby bush, brandishing a rusty knife, lunging at the distracted wizard with the intent of piercing him in the back. But his battle cry was cut short by Azatas's hand, the one that caught the man by the throat right before his dull blade could make impact. Azatas grinned a sardonic, rictus grin as he began to squeeze, effectively cutting off his captive's air supply, as the man's eyes began to bulge out of his head like a fucking goldfish, while he fruitlessly pawed at the vice-like grip around his neck.
Please, stop!
But Azatas wasn't done. No, he was far from finished with the assailant in his grasp. His hand, the one clenched firmly around the villager's jugular, began to rise into the air.
You're grounded!
The wizard decreed as he chokeslammed the still squirming villager into the dirt. Then, from atop a nearby tree, Furrybait dove, unleashing a wicked knee drop straight to the prone man's skull. Crimson gore, flecks of bone, and bits of brain splattering all over the grassy forest floor.
Scratch that! 3 left!
Now, where could they be?
Oh, yes. Oh, fuck.
What the fuck? Do you hear that?
And lo, the wizard and squirrel both sprung from the ground zero that used to be a man's face and toward the source of the voices.
Oh, you like the way I caress those big fat fucking ribs of yours, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, keep going. Oh my god, I'm almost there. Just keep going just like that, you fucking skeleton, you.
Baby, come on. You know I don't like edge play. Not cool, pricks. What the fuck? And stop looking at my boner, would ya?
So, like, how does it work?
How does what work?
You know, it. The little bow chicka bow wow with the skeleton situation.
Why, I never!
I don't mean to offend, I'm just curious is all. I mean, you've got no nerve endings or genitalia or anything, so like, what do you do? What do you feel? You know what, forget it. I don't want to know anymore. Freeze spell!
In an instant, the wizard's bare fist was frozen in a giant hammer-shaped block of ice. And in an instant more, he sent that thing crashing down into the skeleton lying at his feet.
Only one more villager draws breath, furry bait.
As it has flexed so hard that the ice encasing his fist shattered into little cubes and fell to the ground.
Just one more craven little skidmark licker standing between me and vengeance.
And so they, Azataz and Furrybait, with an unbridled eagerness to bring their dark hunt to an end, quickly left the shattered remains of their most recent victims behind as the final notes of their frenzied murder spree began to play.
How's it hanging, ladies and folks? My name is Chris R.R. Balzo, and today I bring you an exciting news bulletin. I've launched a brand new secondary feed, the Wizard Scroll Knights.
Knights!
Prepare your pretty little ear holes for all the dark, daring, and downright delightful side content that's just too hot to be contained in the Wizard Scroll proper. From now on, this will be the place to go for all my wizard hangs.
So what was, like, the inspiration behind your current series that you're doing now?
Like, my cock in general, or...
Yeah, like, your cock in general.
Wizard rolls.
Can I get that ghost pepper ranch sandwich? That's number 9 now? Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, perfect.
Wizards in my city.
What is this jaw? Well, that's normal water. It's just... Chemical bathwater. What is this?
That's normal water.
And other things as well.
Hello there, everybody. My name is Lyke Mendel, and I'm a chocoholic.
I like Mendel.
So don't miss out on the adventures that await ye in the moonlit alleys of the Wizard Scroll Knights.
Knights.
Subscribe now and thank me later.
Because things are about to get weird.
Out of all of Ashtown's populace, Scarletta J. Questman was perhaps the most capable fighter of the bunch. Of course, it helped that she was currently Ashtown's only living inhabitant, but even before everyone else was slaughtered at the hands of that wicked old man and his dreadful pet, the young huntress had proven time and time again that she was more than capable of fulfilling the role of town questman. A role which had previously been held by her dear old dad, who was forced to retire following the training accident which had left the warrior blinded in one eye.
All right, Scarletta. It's just like Dad taught you. Hold your bear steady. Pull back. Aim.
Scarletta!
And
daughter,
shoot!
Are you out here? Ah! By the wizard's wrinkly balls, that shit hurts!
Holy shit! Dad, are you all right? I'm so sorry.
Tis but a flesh wound, as they say.
Are you sure? Your eye socket's leaking a lot of blood here. Now, hold still.
Fuck! As the sizes come with covered asshole, that shit smarts!
I am so sorry.
Oh, don't fret about it, daughter. That was my bad eye anyway.
And now, Scarletta dashed through those woods as quickly as her lean, taut legs would allow,
fighting back the soreness in her calf muscles, fighting back the caustic pain biting at the soles of her feet, fighting back the urge to stop and allow her spasming lungs to get their fill of air. She was running on nothing but pure cold adrenaline and lizard brain instincts at this point, concerned solely with getting the fuck away from the murderous fiends who made to add her name to their macabre list of victims.
I must be the only one left. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, what the fuck do I do? I gotta get out of here.
Oh! Using the technique passed down the Questman family lineage since 2006, Scarletta was quickly able to recover from her trip and fall by tumbling forward with all her weight, somersaulting and vaulting herself into a nearby bush. Out of sight from the unseen assailants that surely stalked her every move by now. She sat and listened then, bow drawn at the ready, pulled taut and loaded with two arrows at once, as she waited for her opponents to reveal themselves. The bestial squirrel crumpled to the ground, blinded by the razor-tipped arrows now embedded in the thing's eye sockets, as Scarletta went on the offensive. As she finally went on the offensive. As she retrieved one final arrow from her quiver and lunged at her fallen foe. An arrow which she wielded like a dagger as she straddled the 6-foot-tall, blood-stained squirrel, pinning each of those powerful arms under her knees as she stabbed the beast repeatedly in the chest. Again and again she rose that simple arrow above her head, only to send it crashing right back down, piercing the sinewy, gamey flesh of that man-eating squirrel again and again and again. She knew Azataz was nearby. She knew she was dead to rights already. But in that moment, she didn't care. The only thing that mattered was that she had bested her foe, had set him low, pinned him down, and exacted her revenge. Exacted her father's revenge. Ashtown's revenge. And she would embrace whatever came next with her head held high.
Coward! Face me! I am not afraid anymore! You hear me? I'm not afraid anymore!
You should be, girl!
As it has the wise, the despicable old deceiver himself had finally made his presence known. Stepping out from the brush with his staff outstretched, the orb nestled atop it, radiating a pure darkness that seemed to devour any light that drew too close. It grew larger by the second, larger by the instant, larger still, even as she gazed directly upon it. The hairs on the back of Scarletta's neck stood on end as she staggered backwards, anything to distance herself from the impenetrable blackness that threatened to swallow her up entirely.
Eat arrows, arrow eater!
She strung her bow with a fistful of arrows, firing a whole lot of them at Azataz in one single shot. Though the projectile simply found themselves sucked right into the inky black orb, fizzling into dust and becoming one with the portable abyss before her very eyes.
What are you gonna do? Kill me? Fucking kill me then, you piece of wizard shit!
Death is an escape. And for you, girl, there shall be no escape.
That gigantic ball of darkness rushed forward so fast that Scarletta didn't even have time to react. Before she knew it, it had already washed over her, consuming her whole as it passed. And after the blackness dissipated, after it had swept her up and immediately scattered into thin air, the huntress was nowhere to be seen, vanished without a trace.
You see? This is why you gotta stop naming the pets, me! They always die right when you name them!
He stooped down and hoisted the squirrel's mangled form from the ground, cradling the lifeless husk in his rippling, powerful arms, before turning tail and heading back home. Thanks for tuning in to me screaming about wizards for 20 minutes. If you're still here, odds are that you enjoyed what you just heard and are edging on the edge of your seat for more. What a fucking dirty word. Well, fear not, dear listener, because more is exactly what you're gonna get if you just subscribe to the Wizard Scroll on your podcasting platform of choice. And if you haven't already, be sure to leave a goddamn 5-star review for me to read right here on the show. Here's one by Key Thomas 2 on Spotify. Terry Pratchett, retold by a foul-mouthed 13-year-old boy raging with hormones only supplied by puberty. 5 stars, baby. That's the amount of stars I like to see. So yeah, if you're on Spotify, type something into that little Q&A section and let me know how you really feel. Anyway, word of mouth is how this show can continue to grow. So share the shit out of it with everyone you know. And until next Saturday... Double Torch Guy awoke in a daze, his head gushing blood from where it had been struck the night before. He tried to move, to stand, and to run out the door of the small room he found himself in, but was loath to discover that he had been tied to a wooden chair while he was unconscious, and that his mouth, the one that tried and failed to scream for help, had been covered with layer after layer of duct tape.
You ever listen to K. Billy's Sounds of the 70s?
Jerry the Skeleman asked of his captive as he emerged from a darkened corner of the room, clad in a white button-down shirt with a black tie, black slacks, and suspenders.
It's my personal favorite.
Jerry pulled out a switchblade from inside his shoe and stalked toward the now terrified villager, stopping intermittently to moonwalk across the room as he artfully twirled the blade around in his hand. He sliced Double Torch Guy across the forehead, and the villager recoiled, trying in vain to wail in pain through the thick wall of tape over his mouth. Then after grabbing his victim by the chin, Jerry slowly brought the blade toward his right ear, the ear that he proceeded to cleave right the fuck off as the camera panned to the ceiling.
Was that as good for you as it was for me?
Jerry asked of the disembodied and bloodied ear in his hand before tossing it into his mouth.
Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The Skeleman retreated back into the darkened corner where he had emerged initially, only to moonwalk back into the light moments later with a gallon jug of raw alcohol in one hand and that iconic two-sided torch in the other. And as the final notes of Steeler's Wheel's classic summertime hit rang in Double Torch Guy's one remaining ear, he was doused from head to toe in the highly flammable liquid. Jerry the Skeleman watched with glee as his victim, that kicking, flailing, alcohol-soaked man in his midst, as he was set alight.
Remember, kids,
he said to the camera as he donned a pair of sunglasses, the better to watch the hungry flames consume the still-alive man before him.
Drink your milk. Your bones will thank you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
What's this all about?
What about nightmares?
You're in this too. We need to figure this out together.
We need to leave.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
They can't tear out your soul anymore, Stuart.
Ominous Thrill, a new audio fiction anthology.
I've done horrible things.
I can taste the rot in the back of my throat. Ever since you arrived.
Are you saying we're the enemy?
Tell them what you did.
I didn't do anything.
To me.
No!
Character-driven tales of obsession.
I'm no psycho.
Banging on my door and streaming it on the internet.
Revenge.
Take back what was taken from you.
Don't mind if I sit here and watch the lights go out, do you?
The unexplained.
Don't leave me!
We can't help her?
I have a daughter!
We're leaving.
Who's there?
Tendrils of rot.
We're gonna die.
No! It's acting out through you. That's all that matters.
And the dark things we do to get what we want.
I need the light. You want me to fall down the stairs?
No. I want to push you.
I love you so fucking much.
Ominous Thrill. Coming to Spotify and Apple Podcasts February 15th. Until then.
Flesh. Open.
Oh, yes.
Thrill you later.